We're doing the Blashot Aran. We're up to page Shin Lamed Chet in the Mosader of Cook edition. The Aran had been discussing that when Moshe speaks about his history, Moshe is talking about the fact that God cherished us, and that's why he didn't forgive Moshe. And that was the prime message here.
What did he mean to give Moshe about?
The sin in our parsha, whatever that sin was, the hitting the rock, Moshe was saying, look, you guys attained forgiveness, but me, God would not forgive, and the reason is out of respect for you, to teach the nations how careful a leader has to be in respecting the people of Israel. And in line with this concept, our sages often discussed how careful one has to be honoring the masses. Our sages said there's a set amount of people. You have to have a minimum, a critical mass, before the Shechina settles. As the Talmud says in Tractate Yevamos, Shuva. Just 1 second, sorry. Shuvah Hashem Rivevot Alfei Israel, when the Pasuk says Hashem return from the tens of thousands of Israel, Melamed Shein Shechina Shura BePachot Mishtei Rivevot Alfei Israel, that teaches us that there's a minimum. You need, what's a Rivava?
Four.
No. Okay. So let's see. We have Ribo. Ribo is 10,000, right? Shishim Ribo, 60 times 10,000. Yes? When the Jews left Israel, Shishim Ribo? No, in Tanakh. And Rivava, I don't remember if Rivava is 20,000 or 100,000. So it says you need double Rivava. I don't remember which one the Talmud says. Umatzinu b'divrei Chazal, and our sages said, Minanim Chalukim. We have different counts when our sages said, you need a critical mass for the Shechina. יחדו אותם לחלות השכינה וזהירונו לצרף עמנו תמיד הרבים בכל מה שנוכל גם החוטים והפושעים. Our sages warned us, make sure to have a large volume of people when you're praying, even if it includes sinners. וכבר הרחתי במקומות אחרים לבאר סיבת זו. And that really he elaborated on in his first speech to discuss the value of the masses. I had the good fortune this morning of davening in Belz. I figured I'd... Yeah, I instead of davening Kochav Yaakov, I said we'll have a special prayer. I got to bring my son along, so I said we'll go to a special shul. We went to Belz, and as we started davening, I mentioned to my son, I said, you know, the holiness we have here is not different than the Kotel. Now, what I meant by that is the Kotel is special. Okay, it's the place of the Mikdash, but a Beit Knesset, when you're coming to pray, and you have thousands of people praying with you, that's also a special holiness. It's one of the reasons why I encouraged people to go, and we had 500,000 people here. Because Chazal tell us that when you have a larger mass of people davening, you have a revelation of Shechina that you don't have in any other circumstance. And that's something you don't have you don't have an opportunity for. I never had it in my life, 500,000 Jews davening together. I don't know how many we had here. Chazal say once you pass 600,000, there's special blessings you make, because the mere fact that 600,000 people get together and say a prayer is a greater revelation of Shechina. It's a Mishnah in Brochos, it's in many places, it's even in Shulchan Aruch. So that's an experience of a lifetime. And that's why davening in a minyan with 10 people doesn't equal davening in a minyan with 1,000 people. So if I went to Belz this morning and the smallest minyan there is like 100 people, that's the smallest minyan, and I'm standing in a place where all around me there are another 8 or 10 rooms, there are about 1,000 people at any given moment davening over there, and that's not an exaggeration, just look around. Yeah.
How many holds 7,000?
I don't know.
It's like 7 huge chandeliers.
9,000.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm saying, I just went there for Shacharis today. And I'm standing there, and all around me, there are hundreds of people davening. So, okay, so that's what Chazal kept warning us, don't take it lightly. When there's a large number of Jews together, there's holiness in that. The whole idea of Kiddush Hashem, you have a minimum of 10, there's holiness in that. The Igros Moshe expands it to another level. When we stand in shul and we say, Baruch Hu Hashem Amvorach, what are we doing? We're inviting the mass to say with us, Baruch Hashem Amvorach L'olam Ve'ed. When we say that as a mass, he says, we're fulfilling the biblical commandment of Kiddush Hashem. So that you say Kaddish. You know, there were two people arguing. You say the Kaddish, you say the Kaddish. I looked at them both and said, I don't get you guys. Whoever does it gets to do a biblical mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. I would love to do the Kaddish. You know, I can't. Baruch Hashem. I wish my parents still 120, but I can't say the Kaddish. But we have a biblical mitzvah, and that's the small number. That's 10. The truth is there's a bigger number, and a bigger number, and a bigger number represents a bigger presence of the Shekhinah. Yeah?
Do you think it's better than like 100 minions of 10 people than one minion of 1,000?
For sure.
Sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
The alternative minions are like kind of, I think, just came about because he wasn't positive.
Chazal say, Bidrovam Hadrat Melech, the Pasuk says, and from that we derive a concept. The more people together, the more glory it is. Bidrovam, the more people unite, Hadrat Melech, the more glory it is for the king. This has a halachic application as well. If we all ate, and you have to make a blessing, so it's nicer if one person makes a blessing on behalf of everyone. If you're in a car and you could say Tfilat HaDerech for everyone, that's better than each one saying it on his own. When the mass unite in prayer or in praise of Hashem, that's a greater Kiddush Hashem. It's a greater glorification of Hashem. Because we can't have Kavanah.
That's
but we have so much Kavanah.
Huh?
We have so much Kavanah ourselves anyway.
Hopefully we get to the minimum. But listening to someone else is much harder.
It's harder with that Kavanah usually. Great feeling, but when you have 1,000 people, it's harder than when you have 10. The plus side is less ego. It's
hard. we used to have it that you'd walk into shul. Shul began with Baruch Hu Hashem Amvorach. Everyone would answer Baruch Hashem Amvorach L'olam Ve'ed, and the chazan would read the blessings. We would just sit back and answer Amen. We'd be focused to what he was saying, and we don't do that anymore.
I like that.
You're Yemenite, okay? Sure, he likes that. The Ammonites still do that. But us Ashkenazim and Sephardim, we don't do that. For sure it has benefits, right? That's why Sephardim all know how to daven, right? Ashkenazim can be 60 years old and still mumbling and getting words wrong. Yeah.
Why did they change that? And why was that the case in the first place that they started with Baruch Hu anyway? It seems a little bit...
It's a big tangent, guys. Thursday night, we have 6 more days. We'll get to all these questions. I'm just bringing this as examples for what he said. We used to all unite around our Birkot Kriyat Shema. Shemona Esrei, not. But benching, yes. Zimun, the idea of Zimun was one person's benching on behalf of everyone. And that's this idea, to unite the masses and
like
blessing.
Sunday night and like Monday night to also be like a Thursday night.
Amalach Hadeh, yeah.
In the spare
time. Amalach Shavach Hadeh Shema Shalal Dati. But now I want to tell you something new, says the Ran, which is my own opinion. Before we continue, I just want to point something out. He says over here, וקבעו מעניין ידוע שיתחייב שיהיה נמצא קודם שתחול שכינה עליהן. He says, our sages set a set number that's a minimum before the Shekhinah can set in. Now, that's an interesting way to say it. I would have said our sages derived, because they quote a pasuk. And he says, as though it's a rabbinic institution where the pasuk is an asmachta. He says, our sages set a number, as they point out from the pasuk. But he calls it our sages setting the number. So that needs some work, that line in the Ran. Onward. He says the following: שאנו רואים שגם בדברים החומריים הגסים ממשיך השם יתברך בחוכמתו סידורים ומיצועים והדרגות רבות. When we look at the material things in the world, we look at the physical things in the world, we see that Hashem gave different levels, gave order. Kedei sheyit yasher akol besidur metukan mitkarev k'tzato l'k'tzato. In order to combine elements, we find that different elements have different traits, and then the different elements confuse and can affect one another differently. God created a world with variables. Things are not identical. There are different things. There are different components. There are different materials. Each one has different attributes. כמו שנאמר בדרך משל, we can give an example for this idea, שהחומר היותר דק אינו נקשר בחומר היותר רב. We would say that, let's say, a material that's of a thinner nature doesn't connect with a material of a thicker nature. אבל היותר דק נקשר עם משהו פחות דק ממנו, אבל הוא דק. But if you have something thin, you can combine it with something else that's thinner than it, so long as it's also thin. Let's take an example for us today. If you want to make a sandwich, so you want slices of bread. You're not going to take two loaves of bread and make a sandwich. He's talking about combining things, connecting things. If you want to sew something onto your garment, you're not going to be able to take a piece of metal and start sewing that onto a garment. You can try to glue it on, you can attach it on. וכן על הסדר עד שיגיע ליותר רב. So there's a certain order in the world, which things can connect with which things. ואם יתביע השם יתברך זה הסדר בדברים שהם אחדים בסוג וגם במין. And if this is the nature God put in the world, even though some things can be of an identical type and yet they cannot fuse, כל שכן שיחויב שימשיך בזה הסדר או דומה אליו, כאשר יימשך שפע וסדר בין דברים שאינם משתתפים בטבע ולא במהות כלל. If that's the order, then that should also be the order when it comes to things that nature doesn't have them connecting at all. Kim b'shituf Hashem. Some things have the same name, but they're not. They can't really connect. They're not They're not really the same. He's going to explain what he means now. He's alluding to the following idea. He's alluding to God and the Jewish people, where really there's no logic that the two should connect. We take it for granted that we're connected to Hashem. והתחייב מזה שאחרי שרצה השם יתברך לזעקותינו שיגיע אלינו ממנו שפע רוחני נבואי. So the logical sequence would be that if Hashem wanted to purify us so that we would get prophecy, we would grow spiritually, שיסודר השפע הוא במיצויים רבים מאוד בינו ובינינו. So then if God wants to give us prophecy, we would assume the distance between God and us is astronomic. So then there would have to be many, many intermediaries in order for prophecy or God's revelation to go from God to human. When you want to connect two things, they have to have something in common, right? It's not going to work. Go connect the wind with your hair. You can't connect it. Your hair is physical. The wind is just a movement. It's energy. You can't connect it. Ah, but we want to connect God with us. That concept works for us. He says that doesn't seem logical. Okay, so leave the cloth and metal. Make it wind and metal. You want to connect wind and metal. You want to connect energy with material. Doesn't work. Hey, you'll say there's an element of energy within the material. But how do I connect energy and material? Ve'im nochen, it's an analogy. He's saying when things are distant, it's hard to connect them. The closer things are, the more likely you'll be able to connect them. Take two things that are completely in two different realms. That's a good question. No, you're right. Because you could say, you know, metal can be a conductor for energy, right? And metal, if you make a fan, it can produce wind. Right, that's why an analogy isn't perfect. The idea he's trying to stress. There's a huge gap. Yeah, that's his idea.
What? It seems to be like a harder concept to grasp how Shaman and Maguf can be connected, but once you have...
Okay.
The
Shamadar
is supposed to be like a heavenly sort of substance, no? So,
yeah.
So once you connect with the Shamadar, that seems a little easier to grasp.
You guys are asking when he hasn't even expressed himself. I'm just giving us the foreshadowing of where we're headed. Vim lo ken yeh lekol mi sheyashkif bezeh bein ha-sechel yoter zar meod mesheilu nedameh sheh-shemesh bli shum emtzai אם שיערנו אותה שגרמה גדול כמה כפלים מכדור הארץ, שיתקרב איש ממנו אליה ויפגוש בה פגישת גשם בגשם, ושהשמש תאיר חומו הטבעי ותפקח את עיניו ותחזק כוחותיו כולם. It should seem to us more distant than the idea that man could go over to the sun and shake its hand. and tell the, you know, look, go connect with the sun. That seems like impossible to us, right? The sun would burn him. No way you could connect to the sun. Ah, but you could connect to God, the creator of the sun. It should be easier for us to fathom a man having a connection with the sun. That should be more logical to us than connecting to God without an intermediary. Meaning the idea we're going to talk about, prophecy, God connecting to man, if we'd really think about it, should be far, much more foreign than the idea of man connecting to the sun, to going for a walk on the sun. Oh yeah, but that's exactly his point, right? Avodah Zarah, in that realm, you can understand why people would go for Avodah Zarah, for sure.
The first day, the physical way, I mean, you said this 200 years ago, people have walked on the moon. So theoretically, I mean, in a physical sense, in a spiritual sense, Hashem put a piece of him in us, so it's not that insane, but obviously it's pretty hard.
I think the reason we have an easy time with this concept is because we belittle Hashem. Saying we... That's why we have it. It's very easy for us to think of connecting to Hashem. You go out on a starry night and you look out to the galaxies. You stand and you look at the masses. That's one of the things that happens to me when I walk into Bell's. I see all these faces and I think each one has a family and each one's a part of a bigger group. You stand here and you look at a train go by and you see hundreds of faces and you tell yourself there's a whole world out there, but God cares about me. I come to Shemona Esrei and I say, Hashem, Sfatai Tiftach. Knock, knock. God, can we talk? Can you help me express myself? And there's room for me. You know, when I tell people I'm going to write a letter to the members of the Knesset, they ask me, who are you? I say, wait a second. Why shouldn't Netanyahu listen to me? Wait, he's got 50 million citizens. Right, wait a second. And they're Bono Shalom, there we have no problem. We can walk into Shemona Esrei, he's listening. And if he doesn't do what we want right away, we wonder why.
That's a high level to believe. It's very good. You know, sometimes there's rooms out there, but rooms here, come over, if you feel that connect, that's good. I don't think that's what's been there. If you really say, hey, what's the matter? Why are you doing it? You know, that's pushing it. But just to be where something where you really stand in the front, that's
it's all worked. Good. It's all good. Well, I'm just saying the reason why what he's saying to us it seems foreign is because we feel so close. It's like, they're a bunch, I'm sure I'm talking to him. What?
And you say, like, why shouldn't, like, maybe listen to me? He's got 50 million. I mean, let's try to say, like, okay, but maybe he doesn't have the same capabilities of Hashem that he can just
grant
him. Everybody
want to sign, yeah. I'm just saying, you know, we have answers. Why do we really feel close to Hashem? Do we stop and think how awesome Hashem is? Or is it that we belittle Hashem? That's the question. The fact that we have logical answers doesn't really answer where our neshama, where our feeling is. That's what I'm addressing. I can give logical answers. We can all say, I have a neshama, it makes sense. Did we stop and think how awesome Hashem is, how far He is from us, and then come to these answers? Or we have these nice answers and we never bother thinking of how awesome Hashem is, which is where I think most people are. So there, then it's easy for us to think of a connection to Hashem.
We go to Shalom Rao half days down and just talking like it's talking.
For sure, for sure. I would add, I'm saying there are other elements here. There's a psychological element where every person wants to feel like there's a certain element of control. It's very scary to think that we have no control. To think that we have no control over whether we'll live tomorrow is very scary. If you set up your life, you have a wife and kid. Are things set up just in case? No one's set up. No one's set up for the calamities that we have no control over. It's very tempting in the name of religiosity to attribute a very special connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because it can placate all our fears. The question is, did I grow to that connection or did I bring God down to that connection? Obviously, I'm not bringing God down. I mean in my perception of Him. And that's there's a world of a difference between the two. That's where we're headed. We'll see in the run. But we're out of time for today.